Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Who are you? If I were to ask you that, how would you answer? How would you define yourself? Maybe you're a parent or a child. Maybe you're a doctor or a teacher. Maybe you're a veteran. These are surely true. But they describe what you do, not who you are. So let me ask again, who are you? And the importance of this question can't be understated, because how we define ourselves drives everything about us. The decisions that we make every day, the lens through which we view the world around us, our motivations and our desires, all of these things are deeply influenced by how we answer this question. And what's more, consider the effect of changing the answer as you move from one phase of your life to another. And just like Mark Reichel talked about, moving from parent with young children to children with teens to empty nesters, how does redefining yourself, maybe as a grandparent instead of a parent, or as an adult instead of a child, affect how you see yourself? And finally, consider the negative impact to your identity, to who you are, if you define yourself as a doctor or a teacher and then retire. Who do you become then? You've anchored your identity in a vocation that you no longer participate in. So really, this is a wrong question to ask. And it's wrong because it places the responsibility on ourselves to create our own identity. It encourages us to define who we are from our own vantage point. And our vantage point is a sinful body in a sinful world. So the question that we should really be asking is, who are we in the eyes of God? Because that's where our identity is found. We were created by God, and we turned against Him, and we sought to create our own identity from within ourselves. And so God sent us His Son to suffer the punishment so that we could once again find our identity in Him. And it comes not from what we do, but by grace. Our identity in God's gift is freely given to us in Jesus Christ. See, we are forgiven by God and loved by God. And in our baptism into Christ, we became sons and daughters of God. We are in Christ, and He is in us. This is our identity, and it never changes. In our gospel reading today, Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Now, you notice He doesn't say that these are what we could aspire to be or what He would like us to become. Instead, He declares it as fact. We are the salt. We are the light. And we are because our identity has come from God. So the question then is not if, But how we respond to these things. Now I'd like to look at salt first. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. And if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Now, one use of salt is to enhance the flavor of food, to highlight the taste that is most important, most enjoyable in what we eat. And as God's salt, we do the same thing with our words and our deeds. We enhance them by using them to point others to Christ. We speak kindly to our neighbor, and we serve him not because of who we are, but because of who we are in Christ. And because we start from our identity in God, our works are a reflection of our love to him. And they become a way of pointing our neighbor to him. We are the salt of the earth because what we do brings the message of God's love to our neighbors. Now, Jesus continues in verse 14. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, salt is only effective while we do something. But light is effective all the time. And here's what I mean. When you serve a stranger, like opening a door or repairing their house, you have an opportunity to point them to Christ. You have an opportunity to discuss their identity in God and to bring them the good news of the gospel if they have never heard it. The effectiveness of your salt, the effectiveness of what you do is there in that moment. But light is different. It's effective all of the time. It is what illuminates your service to others, and it continues to exist long after you've left. It's a reflection of your identity in Christ, and it draws people to God and his efficacious word. So when Jesus declares us to be salt and to be light, what he's really declaring is that through him, we have an identity. We are God's children. And as a response to that identity, we're called to go out into the world and to share with others their identity. And so we do this by being the salt and being the light. We do this by looking for every opportunity to serve our neighbor. And God provides hundreds of these opportunities to each one of us every single day. Some might be small. Some might be simply listening to the struggles of your neighbor instead of going on about your day. Others may be caring, really caring, when you ask someone how they're doing. Or maybe as a parent, you served your children with patience when what you really wanted to do was raise your voice and say, because I told you so. Or maybe your service is much larger Maybe you care for somebody day in and day out. Or maybe you've dedicated a weekend or a week to home repair to a shut-in or an elderly. And maybe you've devoted all of your time to the service of others in another state or country. These are all acts of service. They're all acts of love. And acts that present themselves to us every day. And if I had to guess, I would say that many of you already recognize and respond to these needs. But how many of them do you see as acts of service to God? You see, if we simply believe that holding open a door is nothing more than just a polite act, how are we being the salt that Jesus declares us to be? But if we see this same act as serving another brother, sister in Christ, of responding to our identity in God, then the event changes. We begin to look for other opportunities to point the person to Christ, directly through our voice or indirectly through simple actions like this. And so today I would like to challenge you in 2020 to find 20 opportunities to serve others. And these might be very small actions, or they might be larger, they might be complex, but the act is the same. To love others as Jesus did. And the goal is not simply to serve, but to recognize that these events are service to God and to use them to bring love to your neighbor. And over the next weeks, I would like to put an area, a bulletin board up, where we can encourage each other to anonymously post some of the events that we've served, that we have done. And again, they're small or they're large. I'd like the church to see all of these opportunities that we have been given to be the salt and the light to the world. And towards the end of the year, we'll come back together, and as a church, we will celebrate all of the ways that we have shown Christ to our neighbor. We'll share our experiences and our joys with each other. So, will you join me in this challenge? Will you find 20 opportunities to serve others this year? And will you note it so that the congregation can celebrate with you? Let's pray. O Lord, my God, my identity is found in you and only in you. I am yours because of your grace and your mercy. You selflessly sent your Son to suffer the punishment of my sin so that I can be called your child. And I'm eternally grateful and want to share your grace with others. Lord, help me see the opportunities to serve as a way to bring the good news and your grace to the world. Strengthen and encourage me to be your hands and feet this year. In your name we pray. Amen.